Talking today with Roy Lee Lindsay from the Oklahoma Pork Council. Roy Lee, let's talk a little bit about several things, but let's start with exports because that has to be one of the crown jewels as far as good news for the pork industry for the calendar year 2011.
Yeah, it is. It looks to be just a tremendous year with exports up, you know, 18% or something on over last year. And last year was a very good year for exports, and this year's even better. August comes in with pork exports up 43% over August of 2010. Just an almost unheard of number. Only 1 month in history where exports were increased more than that. So tremendous amount of increase. And you know, we're now exporting 21% of all the pork we produce here in the United States. So access to those markets is really what's helping hold up the price that producers are being paid. Given where we're at with production costs, demand domestically has gotten a little bit softer in August and September, maybe a reflection of the economy. But worldwide, demand for pork has continued to increase, and that's really helping us hold up hog prices and bottom line for our producers.
And Oklahoma plays a special role in that international marketplace because of Seaboard.
Yeah, most folks wouldn't recognize that pork is the third most exported product out of the state of Oklahoma. And since we have the one major processing plant out in Guymon, you can attribute almost all of that to the plant in Guymon at Seaboard. So tremendous opportunities there. It's the number one product that Oklahoma exports to Japan. And again, that plant in Guymon, one plant exports more to Japan than any other company does in the country. So tremendous volume of product going over there. And that's really, you know, when they built that system, they built it because they had a background in seagoing shipping, if you will. They built it with an eye on exports. And they brought in their Japanese customers and said, hey, we want to build this system so that you'll buy more product from us. What are the issues that concern you? What are the things we want to do? And so we're shipping predominantly chilled product to Japan. Not frozen, but fresh chilled, whereas to other parts of Asia, we ship frozen product, and it just kind of depends on what the market is. But Seaboard meets regularly with their customers from overseas. They evaluate live animal care. They evaluate products going through the plant. All of that in just that end result of what does the customer want to buy, and how do I get it for him so he'll pay me a premium for delivering it.
I know that they, you know, as you said, they designed the plant. They actually have very specific the specifications for the type of cuts, the size of the cuts, how they're cut, which are a lot of times different than U.S. standards.
Yeah, and the one that jumps out in my mind is they call it a single rib belly, and I can't tell you what's different in it and a normal pork belly that we'd use to turn into bacon or something here, but they cut a special belly line that runs exclusively to send product overseas. They make ground product, and well, they don't sell a whole lot of ground pork here in the United States, but they package a tremendous amount of ground pork for export that they pre-season and go ahead and ship overseas as well. So tremendous focus because there's real – I mean, they've told me in the past that you talk about an increase of maybe 25-30% of the value of that product if they can export it. So lots of added value to be able to ship product overseas. And then they also export a tremendous number of things that variety meats, et cetera, things that we just not going to consume in the United States. And while that doesn't add a lot of value to the individual pig, it's not drawing down the value either. And so that helps us in terms of across the country shipping out the things that Americans just aren't high on our list of for dinner, but other parts of the world just absolutely love.
Beyond the export industry, the marketplace that's so good right now, you alluded to the fact that we're struggling a little bit on the domestic market, and it seems like there's several factors there going on, and I guess the chief one is the economy.
Yeah, it sure looks that way. It's hard to tell, and as we try to put it in perspective, what's happening with demand? One of the things that we see with hog demand, not pork demand, but hog demand for live hogs, is that demand has been up over year-ago levels for the last 20 months, which is tremendous. And we started to see some softening of consumer demand here, domestic consumer demand here in August and September. But we saw a tremendous uptick in export demand for around the world, China in particular, Hong Kong. And so as we see those kinds of things, they've really helped us hold the price up. But, you know, I don't know what you attribute it to here locally, but you start talking about we got record high meat prices, and they're not coming down anytime soon. And this is not, you know, in years past, we used to think about things in terms of we'd have spikes, and we didn't think about plateaus, if you will. We talked about pricing. And we've seen that in agriculture. You've seen, 13 years ago when I started at OPC, we talked about, you know, corn $2.50. If it was up to $3, man, that was really high. Well, today, in the livestock side, we'd kill for $3 corn. I mean, we've reached a plateau. We're going to see corn prices are going to stay in that $5.50, $6, $6.50, $7 level, and nobody's suggesting that they're going to go back down where they were. Well, when that happens, you've got a fundamental shift in, okay, well, inputs have gone up. I've got to reduce supply. And as we've reduced supply of live hogs, that has pulled up the price for meat. And as it's pulled up the price for meat, it helps producers be profitable. We're still seeing tremendous volatility in the market, but it's helped us stabilize some projections, maintain a little bit of profitability, but it's forced prices to go up. And you're going to see it. You're seeing what the cattle guys are dealing with, especially here in Oklahoma with the drought where we've had to liquidate cows and so there's just no pasture. And that's not a process we're going to recover from very quickly. You know, we can breed sows today and in 114 days, she's going to have a litter of pigs. And in about another 6 months, we're going to get them to market. And so in about 9 months, we can increase the amount of product we put on the market. Well, for the cattle industry, I mean, if you kept heifers today and you could breed them today, you're 9 months before they have a calf, and then you're another 12 months before you can get that calf to market. So if you've got to keep calves back and grow them to breeding age and weight, and then you got to get them to produce calves and get those calves to market, you're talking about almost a three-year turnaround time. Mm-hmm. You know, chicken turns around, we kind of talk about it, chicken turns around like a speedboat. The pork industry kind of can turn directions almost like a big yacht, but the beef industry turns almost like an ocean liner that just takes, you know, a big super tanker hauling oil out in the ocean. It takes it miles to turn around. And those are differences in the market. But as long as beef prices stay up, you're going to continue to see pork prices stay high. You've seen chicken production get cut here domestically, trying to pull up chicken prices. And so as long as you're seeing those pieces all fit together, you're going to continue to see prices high. And with an economy that's sluggish and a public that's wary and weary, they're tired of hearing about how bad the economy is. They might actually be doing okay individually, but when you turn on the news every night, what you hear is there's no new jobs, the economy's not doing well, and you begin naturally to just soak that in. I kind of liken it to when I lived up north for a couple of years, and in the winter, it was cold and dreary every day. And when you walked outside and you looked out there and there's clouds and there's no sun, you just kind of get cold and dreary, and it becomes your personality. And you need a little sunshine. And the public needs a little good news to feel good about the economy and the rest of that to help bring up domestic spending on steaks and pork chops and those kinds of things.
Now, for our Oklahoma producers and a lot of your members, they obviously are producing a lot of pigs that are going out of state. Are we moving? You know, are we meeting good demand as those pigs move at this point?
Oh, sure. We've got we're not having any issues moving pigs in terms of volume, in terms of physically moving them. The demand for those animals is there because we've still got good demand for live hogs. You know, I mentioned earlier that demand for live hogs is up year over year for the last 20 months, which is a tremendous run. You just don't see that very often. And so continues to be good demand for live animals, and that means that the price that packers are getting paid for them after they've processed them is good. There's tremendous demand, and you can go back to exports and track what that export demand has done. We're now moving 20-21% of all of our domestic production is going overseas. So, you know, barring some catastrophic event somewhere, we think we're going to continue to see exports be strong, and we're very dependent on exports at this point as an industry. When you get to about 20% of your market is overseas, you got to be very concerned about what could shut down your access to some of those markets.
Executive Director of the Oklahoma Pork Council, Roy Lee Lindsay. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.